8:30 a.m. KSDP Radio. I'm Kels Hetherington, and this is Meet the People for September 24th, 2010. My guest this morning is Libby Casey. Libby is the Alaska Public Radio Network correspondent in Washington, D.C., and we hear her reports almost nightly on Alaska News Nightly. I've asked Libby on the program to discuss the Alaska-U.S. Senate race, which recently became a three-way race. Well, Libby, thank you for calling in to the program from your office on Capitol Hill. Good morning.
My pleasure. Great to be with you. Thanks.
Well, Real Clear Politics, which can be found through the CNN website, is reporting a recent Rasmussen poll which gives Joe Miller, the Republican nominee, a 15-point lead in the race. Do you think that poll is reliable?
You know, it's so hard to know what polls tell us. Polls told us before that primary last month, the Republican primary, that Lisa Murkowski looked like she was in pretty good shape. And, of course, we know that was not the case since Joe Miller was able to beat her. So we can't put too much trust in polls. But, I think at this point it does look like Joe Miller has an advantage, just based on what the polls are saying. But I'm always wary of relying on that too much because it's up to the voters to go out and make that decision on Election Day. You know, I mean, I think it can be sort of a buzzkill if the candidate you don't like isn't polling well, or it can be overly confidence-inducing if the candidate you do like is doing well. So I try not to pay too much attention to them. But, Kels, I'd be interested to hear what people think out where you are. But, I mean, Miller is the Republican establishment party candidate at this point, and in Alaska, that's generally who starts out with the advantage.
Well, Libby, I think it's still evolving what people think, and we want to have people call into the program to ask some questions and tell us what they think. The number they can do that to do that is 383-2163. Again, it's 383-2163. That will put you live on the air. Well, what were the polls saying, Libby, before the Republican primary this summer about Murkowski's chances of winning?
Well, they showed that she was doing quite well. What we've learned after the fact was that her team may have had some internal polls, and Joe Miller said that his camp had polls showing that he was actually really neck and neck and doing quite well. So we don't always have access to what the candidates see. They can do their own polling data and keep that as an internal discussion point. But it was a surprise to a lot of folks, both in Alaska and also nationwide. And I'm sure, you know, we've talked about some of the theories for why Joe Miller did so well. One was that there was that issue on the ballot that dealt with parental consent of teenage abortions, which really mobilized a conservative base to go out and vote because they cared about it so much. And so that may have gotten more people to vote for Joe Miller. And also there was a really big push at the last minute by the Tea Party Express, this group out of California that put a fair bit of money into the race supporting Joe Miller. And they did a big blanket ad campaign on the things like talk radio, and they were able to get him more name recognition and get people fired up and excited about him.
Mm. Continuing for a moment to look at the recent Rasmussen poll, it shows Miller as likely to take 45% of the vote, Murkowski, the write-in candidate, 27%, and the nominee of the Democrats, Scott McAdams, 25% of the vote. Based on this poll, are we to believe that Murkowski is actually going to do more damage to the Democrats than her fellow Republican in the race?
I think that's the question we've all been asking as she was even mulling over running this unusual write-in campaign. Would she take votes, quote-unquote, would she take votes away from Joe Miller, the Republican, or Scott McAdams, the Democrat? I don't know if we're going to know the answer to that until Election Day, quite honestly. But she could pull some votes away from Miller because people who lean to the right, who maybe are Republicans or independent voters who tend to track Republican, may go for her rather than Joe Miller. But there's also a lot of Alaskans who might be in that independent middle ground who think Joe Miller is a little too extreme for them, for their personal viewpoints, and so they might be inclined to otherwise vote for Scott McAdams, and they might instead go for Murkowski. So I don't think we know the answer, but people are generally saying kind of the conventional wisdom is that she may actually pull more votes away from Scott McAdams. The Democrats down in Washington, the folks who send money to states for Senate races for Democrats, haven't really committed to Alaska. They've said we'll support Scott McAdams, but they're not sending money. And that may show that they don't think he has quite as much of a chance now that Murkowski's in the race. Because there was kind of a mobilization, some fired-up Democrats, when it looked like a Miller-McAdams contest. In the initial polls, since we're talking polls, it looked like a Murkowski-McAdams matchup. Murkowski had like 60%, so really had a strong advantage. But a Miller-McAdams matchup shows it much tighter, and only about a 10-point difference between them. So Democrats were really excited. Now that Murkowski's in the race, it kind of changes everything. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to know how people are going to vote. Democrats might likely see Murkowski as a person, but that doesn't change the fact that they may not agree with her viewpoints. They may not think that she has the right idea when it comes to climate change legislation. They may not like the fact that she didn't support President Obama's health care initiatives and the Democrats' health care plan. They may not like the fact that she has voted against the recent Supreme Court nominees who are now justices. So I don't know if Democrats are necessarily going to cross over to vote for her just because they think that she's better than Joe Miller. I mean, they have a tough choice there to make. Do I go for McAdams because I believe in him and his values, or do I go for Murkowski because she might have a better chance and might spoil things for Joe Miller?
Now, Libby, the National Democrats, as you say, the organization is not supporting McAdams' campaign even after Murkowski reentered the U.S. Senate race in Alaska. That's surprising. One would think that they would see this as an exciting development and a reason to get involved and dispatch key staffers to the McAdams campaign to get this campaign in shape. Is there something perhaps that we don't know about Scott McAdams or falling out that he has had with the Democratic Party?
I don't think so. You know, I think they just put their money and resources where they think it can do the most good. But I really was surprised, too, that first week after McAdams won and it looked like it'd be a Miller-McAdams matchup, I was calling the Democratic campaign group here every day and saying, hey, are you going to support him? What are you going to do? Can I interview you about it? And they kind of just kept putting me off and putting me off. They are supporting McAdams. They endorse him. They say, good luck to you. You know, up there in Alaska, mm-hmm. Go get them, champ. But they're not sending the important thing, which is money. Now, other Democrats, though, are supporting him. For example, Senator Mark Begich, of course, our other senator, Democrat, representing Alaska, has cut loose some of his staff, and they're going to go over now. Some of them already are working for the McAdams campaign. This is pretty typical. If your member of Congress that you work for isn't in a contested race, and, of course, you know, we all know Begich has a couple more years yet before he's up for re-election again. It's very normal to go, when things quiet down in Washington, to go help out someone else in your party, go work the kind of do that on the ground heavy lifting of a campaign. But it's interesting that instead of going to maybe a different state like Delaware or someplace, a lot of the Begich folks who have decided to go out and work a campaign are working for McAdams. And it's a very talented staff. It's folks who helped Begich get to victory in his Senate run a couple of years ago. So they're very motivated. They're very pumped. And so Begich is supporting him, and Begich has called on the National Democrats to do the same.
Mm. Now, Republicans initially were very critical of Murkowski's decision to wage a write-in campaign. And Senate leadership on the Republican side came out and said, you know, kind of shame on you, and if you do this, you won't have our support. Our support is behind Joe Miller. Is that just the face they're putting on for the national media, or is that how they are behind closed doors or when they meet with people they know kind of well, like you?
You know, I think the Republican leadership really believes that Murkowski should not have done the write-in, and they think that Joe Miller should have a sort of a clear shot, and they want to make sure that he wins. Mitch McConnell, the top Republican in the Senate, has been very negative about Murkowski's decision to do a write-in. And I was telling folks last week that, you know, I saw Leader McConnell in the hall and said to him, just something kind of a benign comment, nothing too intense, just, Senator McConnell, you know, are Republicans welcoming Senator Murkowski back? I know you're not supporting her doing a write-in bid, but is it, you know, are you supporting her as a colleague who you've worked with all these years? And he just said something like, Senator Murkowski is a tough decision to make about, you know, doing the write-in, and that's all I have to say. And I said, oh, well, have you talked to her about that tough decision? And he just ignored me. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, Senator, maybe you didn't hear me. He just kept on walking. He didn't want to talk to a reporter about it. So I think they genuinely are upset. Now, that's not to say she doesn't have friends here. She does have friends here in Washington. There are a lot of senators who I've talked to who very diplomatically said, I like her. I'm disappointed how the primary turned out. But none of the Senate Republicans down here are saying, on the record, I think this write-in thing is a good idea. I mean, they're understandably worried that she would split the vote and that a Democrat would win. And you saw what happened this past week. It looked like the Republicans were going to take her away as the top member of the Republicans on the Energy Committee, which is a really big deal for her. I mean, that's a real feather in her cap. And just a few years down here, she's managed to get this high-ranking slot on the Energy Committee, a big deal for Alaska. She has a lot of say over energy policy, oil and gas issues, permitting regulations and things like that. And the Republicans didn't do it. They let her keep that post. Now, there was a little power struggle that went on in the background behind the scenes. Some of the real conservative Republicans, like Jim DeMint, who's supporting Joe Miller from South Carolina, he wanted Murkowski out. But other people, it turns out, said, well, not so fast. You know, she did step down from this leadership position she had. She's one of the five Republican leaders in the Senate, the only woman, actually. Mm-hmm. She did step down from that, and she's been replaced. And so the final verdict was, that's enough of a punishment. There's not much time left in Congress anyway this year. I don't know if you've heard this, but they're only going to be here like another week in Washington before everybody goes back home to campaign.
I did hear
so
that.
So it's not like taking her off that committee's top slot is going to really make much of a difference.
Well, Libby, if reelected to the Senate, would Murkowski be a Republican, or would she have a little I next to her name for independent? Because she has not won the Republican primary, and there's no chance to do that in her case until 6 years passes if she's reelected, or in 2 years when Begich is up for reelection. So could she be a Republican in the eyes of her colleagues in the U.S. Senate?
Right. You know, she says, I'm a Republican, full stop, end of sentence. She went on MSNBC and said that nationally this week. She said that to me. I'm a Republican. Just because I didn't win the primary doesn't mean I'm not a Republican. This is not a situation like Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, who switched parties and went from Republican to Democrat, or Joe Lieberman in Connecticut. Senator Lieberman became an independent. No, Murkowski says she'd still be a Republican. But, you know, as the Republicans figured out how to punish her this week, that had to go through their head. Hey,
yeah.
If we really punish her hard and she wins her reelection after all, if she manages to win this tricky write-in thing, and we've just slapped her on the wrist really hard, in fact, more than a slap on the wrist, we've, you know, chopped her hand off, she's going to have a lot of power when she comes back to say, who are my friends, you know?
It's possible she wins this write-in thing, but it's only been done once in history. It was done in 1954, if I'm correct, by then, Senator Strom Thurmond. But it was done for different reasons. Strom was not allowed or not given the chance he thought he should have in the Democratic primary. Now, and he also resigned 2 years after his election to the Senate on his write-in campaign. Murkowski is not thinking about doing the same thing in order to go back through a primary, which Strom Thurmond at the time thought was so important. Has Murkowski really considered the fact that this is an outside chance and that the circumstances under which Strom Thurmond waged this kind of campaign were very different and actually it was a fight about the importance of a political primary and the process there surrounding that? Has she thought about that?
Yeah, that's really interesting, Kels, because I didn't know all that history, so that's really interesting to hear about what happened to Strom Thurmond. She has thought about the fact that this is really a long shot. Like you said, only been done once in the history of the Senate. My gosh. But she's told me and a reporter from the Anchorage Daily News last week, the day before she announced her write-in bid, she said, you know, she was really weighing it and thinking it. I don't think she'd actually decided yet. She said, it's a long shot, but if it's a shot, if there's a chance, part of me thinks I got to do it, because enough Alaskans have said to me, if you have a chance, please do it. And so she knows it's a long shot, but it's kind of like going for broke, you know, all or nothing. And I think she genuinely feels like it was something she was called up to do. Now, whether or not she was, that's for Alaskans to decide, but she believes that enough Alaskans came out and said to her, Lisa, we need you to run. We don't think either of these other candidates are really viable. And so she's sort of like, what the heck, you know? But it's a tough decision to go into a write-in bid because it's going to be a bruising campaign. I mean, mm-hmm. the Miller camp really had the gloves off before the primary election ended. They were throwing a lot of punches, you know, saying that Murkowski had waffled on the health care bill, which they derisively call Obamacare, And Murkowski said, no, that's not the facts. I voted against the health care bill. I don't support the health care bill. I would change the health care bill if I could. So she feels like they mischaracterized her position. There's going to be a lot more of that to come. I mean, hang on to your hats, you know. I don't know if you follow Twitter much, but today, Sarah Palin, remember her? Sarah Palin tweeted kind of a mean tweet about Lisa Murkowski, sort of making fun of Lisa Murkowski, and called Lisa Murkowski's way of talking odd. And so everyone's kind of going to be getting into this, and it's going to be a lot of punches. And so I think Senator Murkowski knew, if I'm going to enter this, I'm going to have to fight harder than I did during the primary, and I'm going to have to be prepared to take some bruising punches.
Well,
and that's, you know, that's never fun.
Let me ask you about former Governor Sarah Palin. She has been very actively involved in the U.S. Senate race in Alaska, supported Joe Miller. If Joe Miller somehow is defeated by a write-in campaign waged by none other than Lisa Murkowski, is it going to be, a political setback for Governor Palin?
I think so. I think people on the national scene believe that it would be. Now, she's gotten involved, as you mentioned, but it's not like she got super-duper involved. Like, she didn't go out and campaign for Joe Miller. During the primary, she did things like write about him on Facebook and Twitter, and then she did, like, a robocall. We'll see how involved she gets in the general election. You know, will she do some campaign appearances in Alaska over the next couple of weeks? It remains to be seen. But yes, nationally, you know, if you talk to reporters down in D.C. or Republicans and Democratic strategists down in Washington, D.C., they feel like the win by Joe Miller in Alaska was a big feather in Sarah Palin's cap. And they feel like if Murkowski or McAdams was able to win this race, it would be a slam against Sarah Palin, because she has aligned herself with Joe Miller.
She's putting a lot of political capital on the line for Mr. Miller. Now, Governor Parnell has endorsed Joe Miller, and he's actually having an appearance with Joe Miller today. Mark Begich clearly aligned behind the Democratic nominee, Scott McAdams, in the Senate race. What about Congressman Don Young? We haven't heard much out of his office or we have not gotten any press releases saying, I'm endorsing Joe Miller or I'm behind Senator Murkowski. What is Congressman Young saying about this Senate election?
Well, this is hot off the presses because I just talked to him and we haven't reported this anywhere else yet. He has decided not to endorse either candidate. And of course, we're just talking about the Republicans, because obviously Don Young, as a Republican, would only be thinking about the Republicans. You know, McAdams is out of that dynamic. But Congressman Young called up both Joe Miller and Lisa Murkowski, according to him, and said, I can't endorse you. Don't take it personally. I just can't get involved. I'm not going to weigh in on this one. And he says that the reason for that is because Joe Miller, he feels, won the primary fair and square, and so he is a Republican candidate, and Don Young says, I want to respect that process. I respect the viewpoint of the voters of Alaska. But he says that he has a lot of loyalty to Lisa Murkowski. He has a lot of loyalty to her parents. He served in Congress with Frank Murkowski for a very long time. And he just doesn't want to throw that out the window. He thinks that loyalty is an important thing. It's kind of funny because loyalty doesn't have a lot of capital in Washington, D.C. Sometimes. I mean, it sort of goes in like the ebb and flow of the tide, right? But he's saying, I have that loyalty. And he joked to me and said that one of his daughters said to him that if he did endorse Joe Miller, she was basically going to disown him and threatened to stop baking him pies. And that was enough to make him think, okay, I'm just going to stay out of the race. So there you go.
Well, that is telling because it says that those in Washington who are close to this thing and have a lot riding on it are looking at the tea leaves and saying, you know what, maybe Lisa Murkowski is not going to lose this thing like we initially thought she would. And the Energy Committee's decision to allow her to continue her ranking position there, I guess that was Republican leadership's decision, maybe. I don't know. But
It was actually all Republicans in the Senate, and it's all behind closed doors, so we don't always know what happened. But they had the opportunity, the whole group of Republicans in the Senate, to boot Murkowski, or really to demote her on the Energy Committee, and the whole group of them decided not to do it.
Yeah, so there are some interesting and earth-moving events that are taking place that suggest that Lisa Murkowski may not be a past member of the Senate just yet after this election. Now, reading in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and I know you have a busy schedule in Washington, D.C., but just a few more moments, Libby, if you might.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
The Bush tax cuts and the extension of them has been a subject of interest to many. The Republicans don't want to see them extended yet for the middle class because the Democrats are, if I understand it correctly, trying to say, okay, we'll extend them for the middle class, but we'll start the extension right now, and the wealthy Americans will not have the Bush tax cut anymore. Whereas the Democrats won't bring it to the floor. What is going on with the Bush tax cuts, and why aren't the Democrats willing to call a vote? Because I would think that it would be important to fulfill the Obama campaign promise that we will give middle-class Americans a tax break very soon after the president won, and this would be fulfilling that promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Republicans want the tax cuts to continue for all the different brackets. Democrats say the wealthiest Americans, those who make more than $200,000 or households that make more than $250,000, those guys don't need the tax break to continue. President George W. Bush put these tax breaks in action like a decade ago, and they were supposed to, or years ago, within the past decade, they were supposed to expire this December. They're just timed out. But as you mentioned, a lot of people have said now it's not the time to let tax cuts expire. We should extend them. There's a push-pull, though, about how extensive the continuation should be. So we were thinking that maybe there might be a vote in the next week or two on that. But you're right. Democrats have said, nah, we're not going to vote on it until after the November election. And that's for a couple reasons. One, Democrats are kind of split. Some say let's extend the tax cuts for everybody, and some say let's just extend the tax cuts for the middle-class Americans, not the wealthiest Americans. And they just couldn't quite come to terms with the decision in their own conference about how to work that out. And the Republicans have been blocking some things as well, because they've sort of gone back and forth about, at first they said, look, all or nothing. And then John Boehner, the top House Republican, said, "Well, okay, let's at least we'll be okay with at least getting the middle class tax cuts for now, and we'll work on the wealthier tax cuts later." And so they've had their own problems. But like Senator Begich, for example, he said, "Let's get the middle class tax cuts going. Let's just do it. Let's extend it, and go with that for now." And others said the same thing, but it just isn't going to happen before the November election.
Well, the Republicans clearly don't want to hold that vote and extend them for the middle class because they don't believe there is support to extend them for the wealthy alone later. That would be an unpopular vote.
But also, Republicans don't want the Democrats to score a victory. If the vote is done now and they extend the tax cuts for middle class Americans, Democrats get a big talking point. Democrats get to go home as they campaign and say, "Hey, look what we got you." Republicans don't want that. Republicans want Americans to hate what the Democrats are doing, to hate what Washington is doing, because the way these things work, and you know, we've been hearing a lot about this over the past couple months. In this historical trend is when you have the president of one party and the Congress of the same party, when there's the next election, there's a big sea change, and the Congress usually flips over to some degree. So the longer Republicans can have Americans annoyed with the powers that be in Washington, the more likely it is it'll flip to the Republicans just because they're not the guys in power right now.
Final question for you, Libby, and I really appreciate your coming on KSDP to talk with us about what's going on in the U.S. Senate race and in Washington, D.C. Libby Casey is the APRN correspondent in Washington, D.C., and you hear her almost every night on Alaska News Nightly. What about Begich? Is he going to be challenged when he is up for re-election or faces serious challenge in re-election to the Senate based on, you know, we've seen Joe Miller and this Tea Party movement really take off in Alaska. Is that surge of excitement going to continue and be a problem for Begich?
You know, it's a good question. He has 4 more years. He has a little bit of time. You know, it's Senate's 6-year cycle, so he's still got some breathing room. If he were up for election in just 2 years, I'd say, yeah, like, this might be a hard time for him. But you just don't know how things are going to go. I think we have to see how the November election goes. And then we have to see how things kick off for the presidential race and, how President Obama fares. And then it'll be the next cycle. And so it's just hard to look that far down the road. But Senator Begich, you know, knows that every victory that he can score while he's in Washington right now, every time he can say, "Hey, I got you this, Alaska," or, hey, I actually don't like that President Obama did that, so I'm my own kind of guy, the more he lays the groundwork for an easier campaign to come. But Democrats have a hard time in Alaska, you know, on the statewide level. And so his campaign's probably already strategizing and thinking about what his message will be. Folks in the Senate are pretty lucky. You know, they have a six-year breathing room, whereas people who are elected to the House have to campaign every 2 years. To me, that sounds totally exhausting. Mm. And something to think about, you know, as we think about who's going to win this Senate race between Joe Miller, Lisa Murkowski, and Scott McAdams, whoever wins will be here for 6 years. It's a long time. And it's a time to make a lot of decisions, and it's a time to really have your voice heard. And so it's a big commitment. You know, this isn't a first date. This is like getting married. So
I like that.
Going to be here for a while.
Oh, yeah, 6 years is a very long time. Well, thank you very much, Libby Casey, for joining me on the air this morning to discuss.
Sure, I have one quick question for you guys. Are you seeing any candidates come out to where you are to campaign or anything?
Well, that's actually a good question. I was talking with Steve Wykowski with the Murkowski campaign, and he was telling me that they are in the process of planning Murkowski's rural tour, and that she may come out to Sandpoint, King Cove, and Cold Bay. We haven't heard any more on that, so it's an open-ended question. Miller, we haven't seen, and we haven't seen Murkowski as of yet, of course, in any previous tours, and we certainly haven't seen Scott McAdams. I think that McAdams is not in a position where he has enough money to campaign in Bush, Alaska, which would be an expensive proposition for him. I don't know what you're hearing.
Well, I'll be excited to hear if folks make it out to where you are. That'd be pretty cool.
I think that probably Murkowski does make it out, but she'll be the only one.
Guess we'll see. I haven't heard yet what Joe Miller's plan for a rural tour is. I haven't heard what Scott McAdams is either. So, you know, that, I mean, it's one thing to campaign in the cities, but not just to get votes out in rural Alaska, but to learn what it's like out there. It seems like you really got to get out there and get your feet on the ground and talk to folks.
I would add this, too.
But you're right. It's very expensive.
I would add this, too. It's probably more worthwhile for Joe Miller to spend the money to come out to Bush, Alaska, because these are the areas where he did not do as well. He did better in Wasilla, Palmer, and parts of Anchorage. And he really, if he's going to win in the general election, he has to come out and meet the people in these rural districts where he didn't do so well. Murkowski arguably already has that support to the extent that she's going to get it and ought to focus her efforts and spend her money in the big cities and in the areas where she didn't do so well. So I think your time is probably best spent around Anchorage and Palmer and Wasilla.
Interesting, interesting. Well, it's going to be an interesting campaign season to watch, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be. Well, thanks, and we'll be watching as you will, and we'll hear you on the air with your reports from Washington, D.C. It's Libby Casey on Meet the People. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. That was Libby Casey from Washington, D.C. Libby is the APRN correspondent. We're talking about the U.S. Senate race in Alaska, which recently became a three-way race between Murkowski, Joe Miller, and Scott McAdams. I'm Kels Hetherington. We'll now go back to Science Friday right here on 8:30 a.m. KSDP in Sandpoint, Alaska.
Very well, as a matter of fact.
Well.